Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Face Us, where we confront the serious corruption happening in courtrooms across America and the world. Today's courts are riddled with problems stemming from the unchecked greed and unethical behavior of court-appointed and for-hire attorneys and other court officials. We stand with the honest and honorable judges, attorneys, and service professionals trying to clean up this mess and restore integrity to our justice system. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to face us. Today is Wednesday, August 16th, 2023, and I'm Robin Austin. I'm with my co-host, Luann Fleming.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our show. We also have Hillary is joining us tonight. Actually, Marcy does have the night off, and so we wanted to give our thoughts and prayers to Marcy. We love her very much and thank her so much for coming on to our radio show every week. She's been a godsend, absolutely. We do have another host, Hillary, too, we love as much.
Mm-hmm.
So, Hillary, welcome to the show.
Thanks for the welcome. I am so happy to be on tonight. And we, of course, thank our listeners. We are here with you. We might never meet in person, but we will support you in any way, shape that we possibly can in what I believe is one of, if not the worst, situations that happened to my family. So we are here for you, and we're grateful. And there's a lot going on. I'm sure most people know about the situation with the football player Michael Orr, how his parents, he thought he was adopted, they actually got conservatorship of him. And needless to say, they took all of his money, or that's what the public is being told. And he just found out recently. So, I mean, even though everyone listening, we know so much about guardianship, we could not even have imagined that anything like this could happen. But again, unfortunately, for so many people, money is the root of all evil. So again, glad to be back, and lots happening, and hopefully it's opening the public's eyes to see what can happen to any one of them.
Okay, good, perfect. Thank you, appreciate it. We're trying to get actually, our phones are starting to light up already. It must be a very interesting topic that we chose tonight. We chose a topic, and we have one of our good advocates come on, just like the whim of the moment, and she said yes. So we also have Ali Carino with us. Let's see. She is right here. Let me see if we could pull her in. But thanks for that, Hillary. A lot of stuff's going on, and I just read about that case, too, as well. So
yes,
we're going to be talking about a lot of cases tonight and what is wrong with our judicial system. But we're going to go ahead and bring in Ali right now. Welcome to the show. We appreciate you coming on. Ali, you hold on a second.
Hi, Ali.
Hold on.
Technical difficulties.
Okay, here we go.
Ali, are you here?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Here you are.
Technical difficulties
right
on there for a second.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for
Thanks
coming
for having
on.
Me on.
We have a really good topic for everybody tonight, and I thought one of the best people we can talk to, and I know she's just really come a long way, Ali Carino's come on, and Hillary, let's welcome her. Like I said, Marcy has the night off, and so Hillary, let's welcome her to the show. It's actually a big show, and it's something that's been on all of our minds lately. And I remember talking about it with Marty Oakley. She used to be on TS Radio, but she recently passed away about 3 or 4 months ago. And she would always come up to me and she'd say, should the probate system, the guardianship system, should it be completely abolished? I mean, what do you think needs to happen? And that was constantly on our minds, because the way the system is set up right now, it is not working for so many families. We've seen people profiting, you know, coming to our shows for like 6 or 7 years right now. I think it's 7 years, talking about how they went through this guardianship playbook, and it seems that it's the same stories, it's the same patterns of abuse and thousands of cases that have come to us. So where's heavy on our mind, and we're thinking of the only way that is going to happen is if it's abolished, and I know it's a long shot. I know it's something like gun control and all kinds of different things out there, and it's a long shot, but I think a long discussion needs to be happen among a lot of people for this happen. What do you think, Robin? I mean, it's a long shot, but we can talk about it, and I think there's a lot of cases we're also going to talk about tonight that needs attention. And it's just some of the system that's abused our families during this process.
Well,
what do you think?
What we're looking at is a serious, long-standing, deeply embedded corruption that is happening, and it is extremely evident in the probate court system. We have so many people find themselves in this nightmare of having someone else take control of their lives, and their control is absolute. I mean, people are taken out of their homes and stripped of their property, and mm-hmm. stripped of their bank accounts, and stripped of their voice, and eventually stripped of their life. This is not an America where we're honoring the Constitution, and the Constitution is the foundational document of our country.
Right.
All of these constitutionally guaranteed rights are being violated with impunity, and with impunity means that there is no one holding accountable those who are violating these rights. They're simply getting away with it like as though they are the law, when in fact these are violations of law. Constitutional law is the foundation upon which our country is built. And when you violate those rights that are guaranteed in the Constitution, then you are outside of the law. So these are criminal organizations that are operating as though they were courts. And since that is what has happened, now we don't really have any kind of ethical court system whatsoever. What we have is organized crime organizations that have taken its place. And for that reason, it's extremely difficult. Anyone who has been an activist for a few years
mm-hmm.
will know that that confronting this problem, there isn't a way for victims to receive reparations. When you've been victimized in this court system, there's no way there's no one to go to. If you don't like what your attorney is doing and you go to the judge, oftentimes the judge simply rules in favor of whatever attorneys are stealing your money.
Right.
And if you go to the judicial discipline, that's an absolute joke. It's just another layer of attorneys that simply authorize whatever that judge did and say, we don't see a problem, claim denied. And so there isn't any form of reparations in any government institution. And I wonder if perhaps there may be other ways to approach it. But in order to approach it, we've got to find those ways. And one of the things that we're here to talk about is, should we abolish the probate court system entirely? Should we,
Should we be talking about legislative change? I know that's hard.
Well,
it's difficult.
We have, in Colorado, I have been in front of legislators, I know no less than 7 times.
I'd say 27 times.
Probably. Probably. And I've been in front of the Supreme Court. I've talked directly to the Attorney General. I've talked to I've talked to police stations.
We've talked to everybody.
And really, every time that we've tried to pass legislation, it's astounding because there are constitutional separations in place that are supposed to keep the judiciary out of the law making business.
Right.
They're there to interpret the law, but they're not to be making laws. And yet, when any kind of anything comes in that says, hey, listen, there's problems in the courts that need to be addressed, one of the things that you will find is lawyer organizations and judges' organizations,
right,
and retired judges who come in to speak to their legislators. And I recall one time it was, you know, it was like, okay, all of you who have come in, and, you know, we've got 40 people in this courtroom who want to speak against this bill because they personally have been harmed. You each have 3 minutes, and we're going to hold you to it. And all those people, you know, they go through all these three-minute intervals with all these people after they've put them off for 7 hours, and then a retired Supreme Court justice comes in, and they say, welcome. Take all the time you want. You are supporting this bill, so let's hear what you have to say, and there's no restriction on your time. It's like they're rolling out the carpet for the royalty that have come to court,
right,
you know, that have come to the legislature.
It's bad.
This is a direct violation, mm-hmm, of the separation of powers in our government. Those an individual who represents the judiciary or attorneys really are not supposed to be in the lawmaking process. So, and what happens, of course, is that our legislatures are kind of lawyer heavy. There's a lot of people that have experience in the law and law degrees and who are lawyers that wind up serving in the legislative bodies, and then they simply, you know, have the lobby, the legal lobby works them hard, mm-hmm, until anything
so
that
Robin,
will begin to control the profligate abuses in our courts is simply overruled, suppressed, or put on hold and said, we're going to just put that on hold, and then they let it die in committee months or years later.
So my question to you, Robin, is what do you personally think, and I'm going to ask each one of our advocates here in just a minute that's on here tonight, what do you think about the guardianship system entirely? Do you think it needs to be abolished?
I think the way that it is operating now is completely outside the law, and these are crimes being committed against individuals that for which they need to be held responsible. And if our courts can't hold them responsible, then it is time for the people to say, no more. We're not going to go through this system. This system needs to be completely overhauled or abolished, or we need a revolution in this country, and we're going to overthrow these tyrants who have implemented a criminal element that is now controlling most of our courts.
Exactly. So, Allie, I'm going to ask you the same question. What do you think about the guardianship system entirely? I mean, do you think it should be abolished? I mean, I know that you've talked a lot of advocates. You've got so much going on in your own life. What do you personally think?
Yeah, I honestly think that probate court, family court, and the criminal courts, any one judge courts need to be abolished. They're not working. They're abusive, and they're predatory, and they need to just be abolished. They stem from the Court of Common Pleas or something, and so these are just like an offshoot courts of that. And do you know anybody that's benefited from any of these courts? Because I don't.
That's a good question. Hillary, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I'll answer your question in my New York ease. I am sure as shit that no one benefits from probate. Going in 2017, you know, I think we've all basically felt that, you know, so many things were wrong. So I automatically said, wow, we're just going to go to court, my dad and I. We're going to talk to the judge. Everyone will be there, and everything will be sorted out. No guardianship, this, that, and the other. Fast forward to when we all were knocked in the head with the truth. Laws in probate are not being followed. Period, the end. Because if the laws, as bad as they are, were followed, halfway, it wouldn't be as bad. Do some people need assistance? Yes. some people, if they're mentally, well, mentally ill, you shouldn't be in a guardianship, yes. But honestly, there are other options other than guardianship, and I do believe that it should be abolished. It is the worst
right.
area of law that there is, and there's no getting out alive, and all they love is a fight, or family members like you, Robin, Allie, myself. So if I had to give you a definitive answer, yes, guardianship should be abolished.
So Hillary, you talked a little bit about what other options. Do you know of any other options? I know that there is a couple of them out there, you know, making family members, you know, a legal guardian, which they did finally after they did for my sister and I. But what other options do you think people have? I know that there's other ones out there. Have you heard anything that's gone good, or do you think it's just all bad? Because I'm telling you, I'm struggling here talking about it. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, there are other options, but it doesn't matter if you've taken the initiative and gotten the other options like most of our family members have. My dad has power of attorney. My dad had a pre-need guardian document. He had a healthcare surrogate. And again, I thought that's where the stop sign would for a guardianship would stop. Those advance directives meant nothing. And even today, Elder Affairs comes out with propaganda saying that if you have these documents, that guardianship will not happen. Well, that is the furthest thing from the truth. So, I mean, you look at, until it's abolished, you look at jury trials. Don't you think that our family members and our fellow citizens are worth a jury of their peer to decide if those advance directives should be kept in place like they were intended to be, like that person who's more than likely able to decide where they want to live and why that shouldn't be kept in place? Don't they deserve that? A jury of five people getting the same measly payment that a regular jury pool gets? They don't want that, the attorneys and the guardians and the judges, because that would be fair. And they don't want
right.
anything that's fair. You know? It's disgusting. And we are not bitter people, Allie,
no.
you know, Robin, you and I. We're not bitter people. But the system of probate and guardianship is so crooked that there is really nothing other than to abolish guardianship.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. I mean, I have sat here, Robin and I, you and Marcy, all of our advocates that are on here have heard these stories over and over and over again. I mean, we've had TS Radio come on and talk about it for, 14 years or something like that? At least 10 years that we have Rick Black. We have Dr. Sam Sugar, NASCA. We have all these organizations, Dr. Zena Crenshaw. All these organizations come on and talk about the problems we've had with probate. You would think that something would happen. And I know there's a lot more stories. There's the I Care a Lot movie, and the Guardianship Inc. was out there, and then there was the Guardians and all that with Julie Belsky and her family. But don't you think some more people would be really saying, hey, we have had enough. Things have got to change. But it doesn't. We're still sitting here 7 to 10 years later. It's still going on. I'm talking to a gentleman lately. His name is, go ahead.
No, and I interrupted you, and I apologize, but you know.
No, it's
the
fine.
The million-dollar question is, how do we get our point across to the American public before it happens to them? Because all, you know, and again, I more than likely would have been that person saying, well, you know something. Well, that could never, you know, that could never happen to my family. We're street smart, you know. My dad has his documents in place, this, that, and the other. My dad was hustled into a guardianship. So much for us, you know, being on the ball. Because anyone can be taken, but until it happens to most people, they say, that could never happen to us. And then when it happens to them, it's too late.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the same thing. You know, I was talking to this guy the other day. I know this is about a month ago. And I was telling him about the court corruption. He goes, well, you know, my parents, they're in really good shape. They have attorneys. They have a will. They have a trust. And I'm like, you don't get it, though. That's the problem with the issue is that the attorneys, you know.
What you don't understand is
what you
described to me is that your parents have some nice big targets painted right on their foreheads of a trust and a will, and all of their assets are well organized and easy to target for predators who go in, and all they have to do is find some premise, doesn't have to have any veracity, doesn't have to be true, find some premise that for one reason or another, your parents are not really capable of taking care of themselves, and then they just have to malign you and the rest of your family and say, oh, gosh, that family, they're no good. They want what the parents have. They're just trying to get their money. They had a speeding ticket 3 years ago. That one was arrested for marijuana 12 years back. And, you know, and so then they go into the court. They say, none of these people are suitable. We have to supply our own guardian and conservator. And there goes your trust. That simply overwrites who is in charge of all of your money and all of your assets. And now that court official is making all the financial decisions for everything that your family, and specifically your parents, once owned. And they may have a will and they may have a trust. And those documents are now completely worthless because the judge decides what matters and what has veracity in the court. And they just throw them out. They just throw them out, ignore them. You know, if you come in and you go, well, I've got a power of attorney, there you're, you know, 8 times out of 10, the judge is just going to override it and ignore it. And the problem is they're getting away with it. They can simply do that. And no one is, and they do it knowing that nothing's going to happen to them, that they'll get away with it. But these are crimes. And would surprise me if a judge didn't know that. But they know that these are crimes they're going to get away with not free because the whole system is run by the foxes instead of, you know, it's a system where they bring in the hens and slaughter them and divide them up for the foxes. And the foxes are the judges and attorneys that are running these.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And, you know,
go ahead.
Robin and Luann and Allie, now Florida, and I'm sure throughout the country, the big turn on for guardianship attorneys is this, you know, injunction for exploitation. You know, they can say that you took a penny out of the coin jar, and they can, you know, have an injunction that you can't see your loved ones. You know, you can be threatened with jail, and it's quite possibly the majority of times all based on fictitious information, but once it gets started, it's like a freight train. It's unstoppable, you know.
Yeah. It's like feeding frenzy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Piranhas, and just a little piece of meat. Terrible.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's about right.
I wanted to say something when you guys, if that's okay.
Jump in.
I connected with a SEC registered federal whistleblower, Renee Weiler, and she has a YouTube channel out there, and she has evidence of all members of the bar colluding with our own infiltrated government. I say infiltrated, but it's our government, in the stealing of our properties, and they are deliberately hiding it from the public. Yeah, we would be really pissed because we're working our butts off our whole life, and then you're stealing our property. But even she had her own home stolen. They came in and contaminated her entire yard, killed her grass, and then they're using our mortgage electronic registration system to create new deeds with other people's names on them and then just She's trying to fight to get her own home back. She got tossed out of her own home. This is, you know, so it's part, in my strong opinion, it's part of this New World Order. And she told me, she said, go to your own county and look up, and I might have told you this already, but I think it's very interesting. Look up HSBC, Hong Kong Shanghai Banking Corp, is what that stands mm-hmm. for. And I looked up in my own county, and there was over 1,200 properties that they're involved in or that they own. So it's like slowly we're being taken over, and people really need to wake up because nobody is immune to this. So that's my take on it.
And you know, the saddest thing about all this is that, you know, we've been listening to a lot of cases around the country. I mean, we've been in some in person. We've talked to some on phones. We've in email chats. We're in all kinds of them. And I think the thing that perturbs me the most is when an elderly person saves their entire life. You know, like I'm going to mention just right here on this show, like a Patricia. She's in guardianship, Patricia Somm, and she has a lot of money. She's worth a lot. And she's put into a guardianship, you know, and all of a sudden she's not able to do anything with her own money. She has people, you know, watching her and telling her what to do with her money. I just think it's awful to just take someone's voice like that, their money and their voice, and say, okay, we're in charge of you now. I just think that, don't you think there's something wrong with that? I mean, seriously, it breaks my heart that these people work their entire life not to do what they want. And then people say, hey, you're incapacitated, or maybe you've had some issues, you know, and that we need to look over. But here's a guardian. He can run your life from now on. What do you guys think of that?
You know what I think? I think it is beyond crazy. And you know, everything, of course, the scam tagline is what's in the best interest of the ward, and that the guardian is supposed to, you know, every year when they do their annual plan, they're supposed to see if their ward client has, you know, gained any capacity and if they can get some of their rights back. That never, ever happens, because none of these guardians and their attorneys want any of these elderly people to get their rights, you know, any of their rights restored. And again, you're right, and I'll use my dad, frugal to a fault, so giving with his family. He worked hard, and look at this. I mean, money going out the window, left, right, and center. But did they tell my dad what they were charging? Absolutely not. And that's what happens. And even if you're indigent, you know, this is just disgusting that we're even talking about this, that this is happening. You think of Allie's mother with the ankle, you know, monitor, like a prisoner. What crime did she commit? Paying her taxes her whole life? Well, that's not a crime, you know, but things are not fast enough. But I guarantee you that where we were 5 years ago, we're a lot more forward in what's going on, and that our advocacy is making a difference, and that they know we're on their tails, and that's what we have to keep doing. But again, like Allie said, I've never met anyone in my life who said, oh no, guardianship was the best thing that happened to my mother. I'm so glad that we signed her up for it.
I've never heard one yet, but you know, it's like the other day we were on a court hearing, you know, and it was, like I said, the Patricia Somm case, and the judge was on there, and he's like, well, we have something like court watchers, what's with all the court watchers? And I'm like, yeah, you know, because he knew we were listening, you know, so I think that's the good thing about this.
Right. Well, when I was on the phone, which I never should do, and I got reprimanded, which I don't care about. But Kathy Bossi was on, and he said, okay, yeah, I'm going to choose you. You don't need to be on this hearing. Like, how dare he do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there's 100 of us, we should all be able to be there. You know, he was
you know, he thinks he's funny, Judge Burton, and all that, but he is so not professional.
He's obnoxious.
Yeah, he's not. I think he's very professional myself, but the way he was talking about, what, it's all the court watchers, but you know what? That's a good thing on our side because we are listening into a lot of those cases. And I just think it's wrong. See, these elderly people, they don't need to have their whole life taken away. They don't need that. It's so hard. You know, I think about what happened to my parents. I mean, my mom's, all of her stuff, she has completely taken away from her. I tried restoring it back to her, and it was almost impossible for me to get that done through the court. It wasn't happening. So I did the best I could to leave some dignity with her, love, honesty, you know, between us as her guardians, as her children. But I tell you what, there's so many cases going on where these people called professional guardians are not doing their job. They're supposed to be in the best interest of that person. Taking away their daughter is not the way you're supposed to do it. Taking away their husband or their wife or their loved ones, whatever.
Taking their dog out and killing it.
Taking their dog out.
You know, that's not helpful.
Taking their
jewelry. That's not in the best interest of that person.
Going in these people's vaults, taking away their personal life savings is not
taking the purse out of their hand and saying, that's mine now.
Remember that in court?
That was in court.
That freaked me out.
That was the Tracy Hudson case.
Yeah, where
these guardians have such a sense of impunity.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they've been so empowered by the status quo as it exists now that when they get caught, it is with the most profligate and absurd violations of the law that are just as obvious as can be. Tracy Hudson walks up to a lady, says, I'm your guardian. Give me that purse. She says, no, I'm not giving you my purse. She says, and she rips it out of her hand and says, that's mine.
That's what that lady was telling us in court.
Yeah.
She was telling us that happened to her. It just blew me away.
Yeah.
There's like six of them people, like Adam Walter and all them, were all listening in. And they're like, she did that? You know, and we're like, yeah, the lady was, yeah, it happened, you know. So.
And I want people to understand who we're talking about here, because she was the head of the, what was it, Paul?
The guardianship
organization.
Right.
You know, she's the head of the guardianship organization for more than, you know, several years.
Right. And
sorry, Hillary, what was that?
Oh, sorry for cutting in. Which the president of the Pinellas County Guardianship Association, and her goal was to stop exploitation of the elderly in Pinellas County, and of course she couldn't even stop herself from doing it.
No. To the tune of 22 felonies in one of the counties that she had guardians. I mean, that she was a guardian in. She had boards, 22 felonies against those boards that she was facing charges. How many other wards are there in other counties that she's not ever been tried on?
Exactly. So, you know, so tonight we're going to focus on, and I agree, man, I'm telling you, it's gone out of control. We've heard so many cases that I'm like, how could this happen in a court of law? How can a judge just allow this to happen? I mean, there's so many people saying, well, the judge is on the take, or there's just so many reasons why people are saying this, but there's got to be a huge reason why the judges are allowing this. If I was a judge and they come up to me and said, I want to do this, this, and this, and this, I'd say, why? Why do you want to do this? Why do you want to take this person's rights away? Because they're incapacitated. Well, isn't there a way that we could work around that? I mean, there's got to be something better than this. Go ahead.
You're a good person.
Go ahead,
Allie. Go ahead, Allie.
Is that Hillary?
Go ahead, Hillary.
I'll be quick, but you're a good person. The judges, you know, they're so quick to just do whatever the guardian and the attorneys who they worked with, you know, earlier in their career, to do whatever they want. There's a case in Pinellas with Judge Campbell, the same judge who was over most of Hudson's cases. And she ruled that an ex-wife could be the guardian over this gentleman, even though she had, like, 10 felonies. And the Florida statutes say that if you have a felony, whether it's yesterday or 20 years ago, that disqualifies you from being a guardian. She still said, oh, I think it's best, and the felon will be the guardian. Well, the son, who we know, he actually appealed it, and believe it or not, he won his appeal last week, stating that the judge, Campbell, didn't follow the law. But in actuality, like Robin was saying, nothing will change. They'll put a professional guardian on. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you win appeals or you don't. Family members that fight for their loved ones are looked down upon, and they're looked at as, you know, an issue, right? So it's just a terrible situation.
Yeah, exactly.
It is.
They're treated like they are an inconvenience to the people who are trying to run the business of controlling their loved ones. You know, you family members, you're in the way of this court's business. So we have to push you aside and get you out of the way and control your behavior and punish you for trying to help your family member.
Yeah, the guardianship system, it's one of the mostly flawed professions out there. I'm just saying that, you know, for one thing, like here in Colorado, you don't even have to go to school. You don't have to do anything, but don't have a felon, and you could become someone's guardian. Just like that, they say you're a guardian, you'll say, well, what do I have to do now? Well, you have to figure that out on your own, basically. I mean, what kind of system is that? You know, when they put me in as a guardian for my husband, I'm like, well, what do I do now? I mean, isn't it like kind of being a guardian for my husband already? I'm already been doing that for like, you know, 28, 30 years married. And the whole court just got up and laughed and thought, well, she's kind of right in a way. You know, what else do I have to do as a guardian? And so the judge says, well, you just have to look over this person and make sure that they've got all the necessities. And I've been doing that for 25 years or whatever, how long we were married, you know, 28 years, which he did pass away like 18 years ago. But still, you know, what is there, you know, in the law that needs to be done, because the system is so flawed. There's so many loopholes. I mean, Rob and I are writing this book tonight right now, and there's so many loopholes. We're like, man, where do we begin? You know, it's true, though, you know, about the whole system.
Luann, don't you think this is a deliberate, organized corruption and racketeering ring? And this is pretty large. Don't you agree?
I absolutely agree with that. I've heard some scary stuff out there, and I'm like, well, it's probably true, you know. And someone the other day told me that people from all different kind of different countries are buying up the property in guardianship rings.
You were just saying something about that, and I tried to make a note, and I didn't quite get the entire no, something about the Hong Kong Shanghai Bank. What was that?
That was so the SEC federal whistleblower that I connected with, she told me to go to your own county and look up HSBC Bank, or it's Hong Kong Shanghai Banking Corp, and see how many properties they own in your county. So I looked up my county, and there's over 1,200. So that, in my mind, that means we're being taken over, in my opinion, little by little. They've been working on this for a long time. And I feel like we're paying for our own abuse. So these courts, these one-judge courts, need to be abolished, and all these people need to be held accountable for their crimes.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's why I think the show is really important, because, you know, if it's not working, I mean, we went into legislation just to try to get families to be noticed that when their loved one dies, they should be notified within 24 or 48 hours. They would not have that. They thought that family should even be noticed for a whole month after their loved one has passed away. What the heck is that about?
Yeah, who the hell do these people they are. Who do they think they are? I mean, that's like so disgusting and so heinous to do that to the person and then keep it from their family. I mean, that's just cruel. That's an atrocity. And who are they to tell us what we're doing with our loved ones? I don't understand who they are. But
I agree with that. I just saw this thing on Facebook filed from Aldonia, and it says abolish guardianship, medical kidnapping, isolation, over medicated, still the estate a murder. I agree. I mean, I'm sitting there looking at this as it is, you know, and I really do think it needs to be abolished, period and simple. I talked about this with Marty Oakley, like I said. What do you think? She goes, it needs to be abolished. So we had a big show on that. It was great. It was a wonderful show. We had Brian Kinter.
Yeah.
We had quite a few people on. Mm-hmm. I remember that many years ago. We're going to open up our phone lines, Allie. And, first of all, I do want to talk about one case out there that we're the whole nation is watching, and that's the Stuart Henty case and the Roger Hillegas case. And I do believe I just saw a video the other day, and I'm just thinking that these guys, there's no way, in my opinion, that these guys have done anything wrong except try to rescue his mother. What do you think about that, you guys? I mean, I sat there and think about this. Roger Hillegas has been gone. He's still in jail down there.
Right, and
he's What is going on with him?
Here you have someone who went to the police.
He went to the police
and said, "I have documents here, legal documents that empower me to be in charge of my mother, and I want to go to this facility, and I want to make sure that I'm in line with the law." So here I am talking to you, police officer.
And what happens after that?
And they say, "Well, you've got the documents." They had an extended discussion. And he went to pick up his mother. He went and talked to the people at the desk.
And said,
I'm here to pick up my mother. I've got the legal documents to show that this is okay. And they released her to him. And so he took his mother, believing wholeheartedly that this is all perfectly legal. He's already discussed it with the police. And now he leaves with his mother and takes her where she wants to go. She's happy. She's delighted that this is, that now she gets to be with her son. Great. This is superb. She's delighted and happily goes with him. And
she's so happy. Then all of a sudden the police is there.
And all of a sudden there's this huge manhunt to capture this criminal who kidnapped his mother.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Allie? Hillary? I mean, I do not want to invite Stuart Henty on her show because I do not want him talking about Indians because he has gag order, and we're just going to keep it between us on this show because I think it's important that the nation keeps following this case. It's huge. I get calls every day about that. Go ahead.
I have, if you guys want to listen to the actual body cam where Roger's talking to the police, he tells Roger, we don't get involved and we don't enforce judges' orders. So there's that. If you guys want me to play just a snippet of that, I have it ready. And also
that's okay with you guys.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that because I don't want them to say that they can't use that in their evidence. What do you think about that, Robin? I'm thinking that if we play here, they might rule something crazy on it. I think we need to say that for them. What do you think?
All right. We can do that. But I wanted to talk about Roger yesterday. He was outside in the yard, and they locked him out there for 2 hours, and he either had a heat stroke or a seizure. And they're deliberately trying to kill the man. He was locked there.
How can that happen? Aren't they supposed to be watching their supposedly prisoners or whatever? I mean, I saw all that information, and I just don't understand why are these jails not helping these people? I mean, I don't even know what he's been there. He's been there. How long has he been in there now? What, a year?
Well, it's very clear that for whatever reason, they're targeting these two men.
Well, we've had some other people come on and talk to us that it not only happened here. And go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying they also were making a profit. These jails, they actually have a Dun & Bradstreet number, that corporate number, and so therefore that is their goal, is to be profitable. And if you don't have any bodies in there, you're not going to make money. So Roger's a body, and they want to silence him. And I pray he can get out of this, because I mean, it's just so ludicrous, the whole thing. And then
I think so.
The judge Breslow, his oath expired on January 7th of this year, and they're trying to say, oh well, he, you know, in their NRS codes they say that they're supposed to have a bond and an oath, but then they have this wording in there that's got shall. They, you know, like they have discretion on who has an oath and who has a bond. No, everyone should have an oath in office. That's how every state is. Right?
Yeah. It's just something filled with all that going on down there. You know, we're going to open up our phone lines, though, and I know there's a lot of people listening in tonight. Our phones are just jammed. And we want to talk some more about these cases, because there's quite a few of them that are just, to me, they're... shouldn't even be here. They shouldn't even be on DACA. They shouldn't even be there. You're going to and get your mom out. You go to the police department.
These guys are not criminals. They did not commit any crime.
You go to the police department and you say, hey, I've got this issue going on. They say, yeah, go ahead and present those papers. And that is not committing a crime.
There's no crime.
Let's talk to our listeners here. Let's bring on a 541 number, okay? You've been waiting for a while. 541, do you have a question?
Hi, Luann.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Janet Phelan, how are you?
How about you? Go ahead, Janet.
Hey.
Welcome to the show.
It's been a while. Thank you. The couple of things I wanted to point out here. There is a movement in a number of states now called supported decision making, which is meant to be sort of a replacement for guardianship. And it's a tool that allows people with disabilities to retain their decision making capacity by choosing supporters or advisors to help them make choices. Now, I've done a little bit of checking on with some of the states that have passed these laws, and it looks like at this point in time, it's mostly being employed for younger people with disabilities. But there is no reason, given the way the law is constructed, that this could not be substituted in cases of guardianship. And as we know, you know, guardianship has turned into a leviathan. It's turned into a monster that has, you know, no end to its hunger for our families and for their money and for their lives. So I just wanted to encourage people to check out supported decision making, because it isn't a viable option now. Also, I just wanted to say something about the Stewart Handy matter before I get off. I wrote an article. It was published in April of last year concerning Handy's situation. It was published on Activist Post, and prior to doing, in the course of doing the research for the article, I checked out Barry Breslow's financial history as far as it is disclosable on the County Grantor Grantee Index, and I found extremely disturbing information about Breslow. And the day after the article was published, Breslow decided to quickly lower Stewart Handy's bail and let him free. And this is the kind of reaction that we have seen over and over again with this kind of research, that it has gotten people out of jail. It has gotten money returned to trust. And it has gotten, in fact, in a case in federal court involving a litigant in Georgia, the judge was so confounded, I think, by the publication of his financial history, that he simply dropped the case cold. No decision was ever enforced. He was about to ruin the litigant, and he simply just, you know, went and hid under his table. And he's been hiding under his table for the last 4 years, and the litigant is now happily living in Georgia without further abuse by the courts. So I just simply wanted to state that there does appear to be a tool in the toolbox which is able to address some of these abuses, and I would like to encourage those who are paying close attention to Mr. Handy and Mr. Hillegas's plight. I would like to encourage them in looking further at the players in the courtroom, particularly DA Christopher Hicks and former presiding judge Scott Freeman, because they're both apparently as dirty as sin. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you very much, Luann.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And I hope you're feeling better. You know, I've been following you, and I hope you're doing okay.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Take care, guys. Bye.
We miss talking to you, by the way. Whenever you feel good, come up on our show whenever you feel like it.
Wonderful. I appreciate that. Thanks. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay, thank you. Everybody, that was Janet Phelan. Just really a love and support her on everything that she's done. She's
you
a journalist.
You can find a lot of her work on Activist Post.
Yes.
And she is the author of several books.
Right. Exile.
And
each
of those are well worth reading.
Absolutely.
You will not be disappointed.
Thank you, Janet.
If you check out the works of Janet Phelan.
Right, exactly. But that was good that she actually, I remember when she did that article, you know, that's good. Let's bring in our 616 number. 616, do you have a question, comment?
Yes, this is Holly from Michigan.
Hi, Holly.
Hi,
how are you doing?
Welcome to the show.
I'm good. I'm speaking for the disabled community more than anything else. But,
right.
Yeah, guardianship has to be abolished altogether, even though, and it could be done if people got together enough to do it, it would get done, but the price is too high to pay, because people are going to get arrested, people are going to get shot, people are going to get arrested to go against this powerful entity of bullies, and they're just bullies, and bullies do not stop. They'll just keep going and going and going and going and going, and they just won't stop. Now, will they run themselves out? Yeah. Will we have to bottom out? Yes. Will we go full circle again? Yes. I have found that thoughts and judgments have gone back 60 years, 70 years, to the point where people are saying that we want people back in institutions, take rights away because of this person or whatnot, and the whole thing is mental health right now. And everybody apparently has mental health problems, even though it's just being a normal human being for the most part. But, yeah, you would have to get rid of guardianship altogether because it's so corrupted, adult guardianship. But it's such a moneymaker. You have corporations that own 6, 7, and 8, 9 different nursing homes, and they're making a mint of money. And they have to have those beds filled no matter what. As far as the supported decision-making, people, judges won't even look at it. And attorneys are running the country. Attorneys are not caregivers. They're paper pushers. And that's all they mean right now. They're even police. They're acting like they're doctors and they can look at people's eyes and find out what's going on. They don't.
Mm-hmm.
We just have too much. We have too much of the system that are working outside of their lane and outside of their expertise in some kind of subjective thing. But as far as the guardianship thing, adult guardianship, that whole thing should be abolished. I mean,
right.
There's no sense to it. There's nothing to it. Will it run itself out maybe in 30, 40 years? Yes. But we have to bottom out because I don't think anybody's going to get together enough because the price is too high to pay. People would have to really push it back. I would hope we could push it back, but people are so judgmental right now. They're so judgmental. Anybody blinks wrong or says the wrong word or does anything wrong or they're too skinny, they're too fat, they don't have the right coat on, not the right color, they're very too disabled, they rock wrong. And someone's coming and saying, why can't you fix this? Why can't you fix this? Why can't you fix this? And that's what's happening right now because people are not educated on the disability of people and how disabled cerebral palsy people are. They are skinny because they're cerebral palsy. Most
exactly.
of them are
you
fully
have, you
underweight.
Have someone,
but then people
you
come in and say, oh my goodness, that person is so skinny. Oh my goodness, you abused them. You abused them.
Yeah, we got to actually take that off for a little bit. You know, as I want to let the audience know that Holly has had a loved one of hers that she adopted, and she actually had her taken away and put into guardianship against her will. So I know her frustration on all that happening, but Holly, sorry about that. I have to go ahead and move on to a different caller now, but we understand how it is to have your loved ones taken away. Holly, we'll get back to you after a bit. There's a 386 number that has something to say, 386.
Bonnie Carter. Hello.
Uh-huh.
How are you all?
Hi.
Today?
Hi.
How are you all,
Bonnie?
You sound wonderful. A lot of good information. I wanted to say I just Googled how many guardianships are in America. According to Google, 1.3 million. Seems like there should be... It seems like there's more than that, doesn't there? It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
That
so,
sounds like just Beach County.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. But does anyone know if there's what the actual number is of guardianships?
You know what?
And
no.
We've been trying to figure that out. Does anybody really know? Because Robin and I have been writing this book, and it's somewhere between 1.5 million and 3 million people. We've been hearing the same thing for about 3 years now. What do you guys think? No one's keeping track, right?
I mean, just for Ohio, I'm gonna do a guesstimate. Like, say that a guardian has, I know that the guardians here have about 200 each. You know, that's just two of the guardianship mill people, and that's way underestimating it. And we have 88 counties in Ohio, so what would that be? Be like 400
That would be 160 plus
per year. By the way.
The not what I'm trying to calculate, but you
about
have how many counties?
000. I mean, we have 88 counties.
88 counties.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, last time we found out in Colorado was about 6 years ago. The Colorado Bar told our Senator Laura Woods, she goes, well, how many people in Colorado are in a guardianship? And they said their estimation was 18,500. That was six years ago. Could you imagine what they are now? Wow.
So
her and I both sat there with our mouths just, wow. That's a lot of people that need our help. You know?
Yes. I just have one more quick question. Does anyone have a map or an idea or a plan of how you would abolish this guardianship in the system? And what way would we do it? How would we do it? Through
through what method? Through Congress? How
did probate start? Probate court and family court start? They stemmed from the Court of Common Pleas, I believe. So they started that way. We can end them that way and just put it back into a three-judge court or something like that, or add other judges. But this is not working. One-judge courts are not working. They have way too much power, way too much.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I agree with that.
Anytime you mention courts and judges, that's not abolishment. To me, you need to not have to be in the system. I mean, does anyone know what year and did guardianship, was it actually created in the court system? If we talk about the history of probate guardianship, when was it initiated in the court system in America?
It was initiated in 1935. Actually, Kathleen Hebert was going to hop on and educate us on that.
We need to do a show on that because, you know, like I said, Rob and I are writing a book, and we have so much controversy going on with there. Some people say it was like 1784 when it first started, feeble-minded people, you know, under guardianship, and then all of a sudden the Constitution came in there, and all these constitutional rights were put out. So it's kind of hard to discover exactly what's going on that, but we know of anybody that has constitutional law about all that, I'd like to get them onto the show. What do you think? I think that'd be good.
Right.
Because those questions all the time about
we need to save lives. I mean, there's people suffering every day. It's heart-wrenching. I see it every day. In my mom's facility,
Go ahead, Ellie.
In my mom's facility, this lady came up to me and she said, what is this place? And I said, it's a nursing home. And she said that her son-in-law, her daughter died and her son-in-law put her in there. And she said, I have two apartment complexes and two homes. Why do I need to rent a room here? He put me in here. And I looked her up. Sure enough, I looked up her name. Sure enough, she's in guardianship. So it's, she shouldn't be in there. She should be able to be in her own home. She could hire someone to come in and help her.
That's what I don't like about the whole thing is that these people save their entire lives for their husbands and their wives to die in their own home, you know, to have their family with them, not to be in your home and isolated from your family members. You know, what the heck is that about? Or they sell these people's homes and let them die in a facility without anybody there. I think it's cruel. It is really a cruel system we have. You know, that's the biggest problem I have. I mean, the isolation and the medication and not giving a damn for the elderly and these people that are disabled, the ones that need us the most. Are betrayed the most by our fellow citizens. You know, it's disgusting. I do these shows all the time. It just makes me sick in so many ways to talk about this. But we have to, as a society, talk about it. Let's bring in, I think it's 770 number. Let's see who this one is. 770, welcome to the show, Faces Radio.
Hi, Luann. It's Becky. How are you?
Hi, Becky. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm all right.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. I wanted to see if there was any listeners that might could put some insight into once the war dies, and of course they take the power of attorney and the advanced medical. You know, even if in my case from the wife with these false accusations. And so when the estate is opened, you see the same corruption, if not worse. What happens is, in my case, my own attorney that lured me into the guardianship filed to open up my estate as a creditor. So when I objected and the son objected, things became very, you know, argumentative, in other words, more hostile, and it's completely out of control now. But what is interesting is everyone's role in the guardianship that still keeps up the corruption, because naturally they want the estate. And so what happens is they hide the guardianship fees, saying the family doesn't have any right to know. And then the attorney, in my case, he got his fees under a new OCGA ruling where he could get the fees from the estate. And he's figured out, uh-oh, I might not get my fees, because this is an order of succession, and this could actually be an insolvent estate due to the medical bills. So he starts personally attacking me. But what I really want to bring forth is the corruption on what he did. He went in, this creditor attorney that represented me, and he leaned my homesteaded home of 31 years without the estate being open or without a personal representative being appointed, then went in and made sure that I couldn't be personal representative of my own husband's estate and is objecting to my year's support. So my point is that the corruption is, it only gets worse. There's no end to it.
Right. And so you think, you're thinking that the system needs to be completely scrapped, needs to be abolished, right?
Right. I'm in agreement with that, because, in other words, once the estate is open, I mean, can you imagine, you've gotten your fees, $37,000 for three court hearings and one ex parte, and you get the right to go in, and before the estate is open, no notice to the heirs, no notice to me, and lien my homestead at home with a sheriff levy. I mean, that's how corrupt, and a judge signed off on that. That is just how corrupt. In other words, you all know probably in your own states that if you don't have a will, because they're going to strip you of the will, one way or another, when that war dies, there will be no will. It doesn't matter whether you have one or not. And the bottom line is that they go in and get, and now this judge signed off on this. So you've got your order of succession, you've got the year's support, you've got funeral expenses, medical expenses, then comes the creditors, and he said, oh no, there's a chance I'm not going to get my money, so I'm just going to go in and lien the home before the estate is even open. So that's you know what, I mean, I kind of would like to maybe one night to have a talk show with guests that have had the corruption continue on into the estate, because it is something like I've never, I mean, I thought the guardianship, and it was bad. I mean, there could be no worse than that, but this is beginning to be, I mean, just as corrupt.
Absolutely. You know, that's exactly it. You know, we've got a lot of people talking to us right now about, it's not just the guardianship playbook, it's the whole probate system.
Yeah.
You know, yes, we're going to do shows on should the whole probate system be completely abolished. That's coming up next, because in my opinion, yes. We've had the guardianship abuse in our family. We've had the whole process of the probate system go in. It's not good.
No.
So, and Elizabeth just sent in, what we need to do is take the excessive profit out and limit the number of legitimate cases. Guardians must be thoroughly trained and provide a livable wage for actual work performed. I agree with that 100%. Yeah. We tried to do that in Colorado. Remember, we tried to put guardians on a salary from the state, and they didn't want to pay for it. But they would rather come after people. Right. That's like here. there's an estate of $10 million. Let's go after that, or do you want to get paid $20 an hour? Well, of course they're going to choose the big estate. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah,
right.
Go ahead.
I think that any time that you give a human life an incentive, example, COVID, all the ventilator patients the hospitals were given big incentives to put the people on the ventilator, same as with guardianship. And it's the same as one of our guests was saying tonight. There is such a huge profit in this that these greedy
yeah.
people are not going to give up easily.
Right. I agree with you there. We've done an interviewing on several attorneys come on to our show, good attorneys too, that come on and saying,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can't even believe what I'm standing. I'm an attorney. You know, so it's
oh,
huge. It's huge. They need to take the incentive out of it. They need to limit the cases.
Right.
They need to put them on a state salary. They really do.
That's
these
right.
Public administrators here in Colorado definitely, you know, need to
right.
be put on salary. The attorneys need to be put on salary. In fact, people running this should never, an attorney can be involved, but absolutely just for a mentor or whatever, but paying attorney and their guardians and their guardians attorneys and paying.
Well, once
you, know,
you take away someone's money and you say, now this individual that works for the court is in charge of that money.
And they're making
then,
more
yes.
money
then,
than that
then,
person in guardianship.
Then now you take away the incentive for an attorney to do anything right for their client.
Mm-hmm.
Because
oh,
only
that's
person
right,
they
Robin.
Need is that court-appointed official. The only, you know, they just have
that's
to please
right.
the judge who's going to say, yes, pay this guy's salary. And the judge is probably going to be happiest if they do as little as possible so that the court can take as much as possible
yes.
out of that estate.
And
if you're defending someone from an assault on their
mm-hmm.
on their property, on their life, and right. you're paid by the people who are making that assault because there's a cabal of attorneys that are all, you know, black robe crooks that are now controlling the money.
Mm-hmm.
If you go up against
yeah,
them,
and Robin, yeah, that's right. And then there's another real devious part to it. If you, in my case where my husband died of the neglect, and the only reason I knew that was in an autopsy because it was kept so concealed, even by two adult protective, Florida as well as Georgia. But the deal is when they put in that county conservator, that county conservator becomes my husband. And then here again, as the wife, for no good reason at all, I'm not allowed to be my husband's voice, and I cannot sue. It keeps me from suing anybody involved that took care of my husband. So do you see the payoff and the incentive and how it keeps on going?
Yeah.
I get it 100%. I mean, exactly, you know, and it's just rigged against families, all of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like I say, there's no reason. I have a case going on right now in a different state where the husband is separated from his wife of 30 years of marriage, and that wife is pleading everybody to go and see her husband. Of course, to keep the wife away. Every single case, all of a sudden, the wife is going to hurt that husband. Are you kidding me? They've been married for 30 years. What is the problem with that whole situation?
Yeah, we hear over and over.
It's like,
well,
why are
the,
they keeping
the
you away?
Family member that came to see their loved one was a disruptive influence, and the loved one got upset. You're damn tootin' because they begged them, please get me out of here, please. Please get me out
right.
of here. Is there anything you can do? And the poor family member is saying, I'm sorry. I'm sort of between a rock and a hard place.
But
here.
I'm being supervised to talk to you.
You know, I can't even talk to you about that. And it's
so horrible. A lot of these people, they're being supervised. With that Tom case going on, were the daughters now possibly going to be supervised to see her own mother she's been living with for a long time? I don't get it. I don't get all this. Is just makes me angry. Let's bring on another person. Let's bring on an 847 number. This topic is really hot tonight.
847, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question or a
good
comment?
Evening.
Good evening.
I've been on the show before. You talk about 30 years. I have 55 years with my wife. I rehabbed her from a cranial aneurysm. The guardianship allowed me to take care of her and rehab her for more than 16, 17 years. Then they kidnapped her and put her into an assisted living facility with no contact between us, even though by outside verification, she has said, I want to be home with my husband. If you think that what is you're describing on this program is something, look up in Cook County, Illinois, in the probate court, case number P075360. The name on the case is Salas, S-A-L-L-A-S. Look it up.
Mm-hmm.
What you're talking about is child's play. They've done it here. We have fought them. And the corruption that's going on in the court of Judge Bolliker in the probate court and Robles in the circuit court is just phenomenal. The rule
right.
of law no longer exists in Illinois.
So let me tell you, Mr. Salas, do you think that the whole system needs to be abolished?
What has to be abolished?
You think the whole system needs to be abolished? The guardian handbook.
Absolutely, it's been corrupted to the point. And there comes a point where an automobile is so damaged that it cannot be repaired. You must build something new.
I agree. You put it exactly what we're trying to say the whole night is if you have a total out car. It's almost impossible to put that back together again. I agree with you. I agree with you. I mean, I know that you've got a case that's been going on. Cook County is really a hot spot. It really is. Cook County, Illinois. And I hate to say that. My mother was only right down the street from you. She was born and raised there about 2 miles from your home out there. So, you know, and I think about my mom all the time. She passed away 3 years ago, and how much she loved Cook County and how much she loved Chicago. But over the years, it has really destroyed itself out there with a guardianship system. I believe that. I do.
This,
you know, and my mom
has been threatened a couple different ways by what I believe actions of the guardianship.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I hope everything goes okay for you. I know that your life was completely turned upside down. Becky's case was, Allie, my case, Marcy, Hillary. We've got so many advocates. I mean, Janice. I mean, there's so many. Everybody that spoke on tonight has absolutely had their lives turned upside down. Their parents' property taken, their parents taken, their wives taken, their spouse taken. This needs to be abolished. The whole system, you know, and that's why we talk about it. That if
May
it
I
doesn't
say
get
something.
Under control, right?
May I say, I believe that we must find a different avenue of attacking this. We are trying to fight with the courts of law, rule of law. And rule of law in here in Cook County and Illinois, that Chicago area, is non-existent, including the police. Vehicles documented have been stolen by the Skokie, which is a suburban police department.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unbelievable what's going on. When you say things on the program, they've all been done in spades here in Cook County.
Right. Gosh, that's so sad that what our country has become. I mean, we've got, let's add them up tonight. We've got about 25 different states on right now that are all calling in, that are all listening to this show. So obviously we've got 25, 26, 27 states already so far listening to the show. And I know, and there's been a lot that are hanging up and coming in because I know our show is so busy tonight that I think people are actually getting kicked off this show. Sorry about that, but it only holds so many people. So I'm just saying that we have an issue going on here, Robin. I mean, it just keeps on going.
Excuse me. May I say?
Yes.
Janet Phelan has written
articles
in Activist Post. She wrote an article about Cook County called "I Wants Your House, I Wants Your Wife, I Wants Your Car, I Wants Your Life." Look, Janet Phelan in Activist Post and read the article. She has done excellent research.
Right. Yeah, she's always done excellent research, and I know that she did an article on that, and so everybody look that up. And look at the work she's done. She's been a great advocate for the system. And thanks for calling in, Mr. Salas. I know that you had a difficult time. Go ahead.
This is Bonnie Carter. I'd just like to say one more thing.
Okay.
I met with state rep this week, and also have requested that Senator Rubio, Congressman Rubio, look at doing another hearing on Capitol Hill for toxic conservatorships. If anyone thinks that's a good idea, and this would represent not the stars, but the little people, okay?
Right.
If this would help, you write to Congressman Rubio and anyone who you think might help initiate this. We need something for the little people. And I don't see why they can't do it. They did it before. It didn't really accomplish much, but a little press. But if we could get this movement going, do you think that would help?
Yeah, I mean, anything would help. If you want to come on to our show and talk about it, we'll do that as well. I mean, whatever we can do here at Faces Radio to do something about the system. You know, I've been angry for 10 years at the system myself when all my property and my family was completely taken from us. I get it. My mom was put into guardianship. To me, it's wrong. It's no one should be coming over and taking your husband, your spouse, your loved one, your mother, your dad, your in-laws or whatever, and then taking your property and taking all your state, taking all your money, and you can't enjoy it. What the heck is that all about? That's why we're here talking about this. Right. If you have any more information on that, contact us at FaceUS Radio, FACEUS Radio at hotmail.com. Let us know what you think. If you want to come on to our radio show, you can do that as well. I've got another person we're taking in, a 925 number. Let's take in this last caller. Night, 925.
Yeah, Luann? Luann?
Yes.
Hey, this is Dr. Dave Manuel here in California.
Thank you for listening in.
Yeah, at the Adequacy Assurance Constitutional Research and Action Group, and calling in, wanted to call in. I know it's late, but was busy, but I'm glad you guys are having a good show tonight. It sounds great so far. But I just wanted to say real quick, you know, we do have people out here fighting for the Constitution. We have, if you need help with cases, individual cases, give us a call. Also, for the general cause across the country, you know, we're fighting to make sure that the Constitution is enforced in our courts, that we're getting jury trials in our courts, and that if you are having crimes committed against you or you think you are, that you can go to your grand juries, federal grand juries, directly and petition them with the reports. Now, my phone number is 925-766-0902, 925-766-0902, and that's the Adequacy Assurance Constitutional Research and Action Group. We're in California. We have a couple of law professors out here. I just wanted to say, you know, we got Sheriff Stuart Hantey in Nevada, in Reno, the Reno area, and him and Roger Hillegas are being unconstitutionally prosecuted there and facing 40 to 50 years in prison, from what I know, just for going and getting Roger's mom, taking her. Apparently Roger picked her up from the nursing home after checking with the Reno police, getting the Reno police's blessing and permission, basically. And he took her to go see the mother to go visit her brother. They were both in their 80s, I believe, and the SWAT team got called, and now they're facing 50 years in prison, I believe. There's really not enough cause. They don't have a proper indictment on them. There's not even enough cause to hold them to trial. But there's definitely, from the evidence, Roger, in the probate court, demanded a jury trial. He was the power of attorney. He was the trustee. I mean, he was his mother's caretaker. He had all the documentation from his mother, contracts, and when they took the mother to the probate court to apparently take over and seize her estate and her money and everything, he demanded a jury trial on the record. He said, "I demand a jury trial. There's no probate jurisdiction here. This is federal jurisdiction. I want a jury trial, and I have contracts in the matter." And when he did that, from that point on, when they refused him a jury trial and they just proceeded to take his mother from him, those were all federal crimes in violation of the RICO Act. So what they're doing to Roger and Stuart right now is a travesty. Sheriff Hantey was, a 20-year Nevada state trooper, and then he was the sheriff of Mineral County and some other counties and jurisdictions. He was the actual sheriff for another 10 years or so. So he's a 30- or 40-year law enforcement officer out there risking his life. You know, he was the sheriff of the whole county, and now he's on trial for absolutely doing nothing. And so he's facing 40 to 50 years being unlawfully prosecuted. So call us. We're putting together a campaign to get him justice, and because there's already a grand jury default warrant for their acquittal and release and dismissal of the case. That was accomplished about 6 months or a year ago. So we're putting together a campaign to get him constitutional due process and get him acquitted, him and Roger, get them out of jail. And at least, you know, if nothing else, we're going to get them a fair trial and get them acquitted that way. But, you know, they didn't, when you look at the evidence, they didn't do anything wrong. Roger's mother was stolen from Roger by an illegal, you know, no due process, no jurisdiction, just out of control, rogue, you know, rogue criminals that have taken over our court system in violation of the Constitution, in violation of the RICO Act. You have United States versus Civarella, which is a very important case that shows that state judges, especially state judges that are acting in contravention to the law and robbing people and not giving people jury trials, as well as attorneys violating the law, can be thrown in prison and can be convicted for the RICO Act. So, you know, when you don't give people jury trials, and when you jury witness and evidence tamper, those are RICO Act violations, and you can be thrown in prison just like anybody else. Everybody out there has got to fight for Sheriff Stuart Hantey and Roger Hillegas. They're innocent from what the evidence shows, and I'm going to be coming back on your show here real soon with some of our other folks that work with us and be helping people with cases if they need help, and show them how to research the law and how to use the law so we can get our country back, because this is a civil rights travesty. There's an epidemic going on right now across this country. Our country's been basically, our legal system has been taken over by crime and error in the system, and just crime. And they're taking millions of dollars from the American people. And all this money's been, this is all hard-earned money from real American citizens that have earned this stuff over the last 60 to 100 years. And these are guys who are just coming in and stealing hundreds of millions of dollars in each state every month or every year or every day. I mean, your family's had it. My family's had it. I mean, we had $30 million worth of real estate stolen from us, and basically in violation of the contracts in the matter, no jury trial. You know, the appeals court there was on the payroll being paid. So your family suffered it. My family suffered it. I've talked to hundreds of families that have suffered. We know that it's a problem, and we've got to do something about it. So we're happy to help you guys and work with you and anybody else across the country, any other groups, any other individuals that feel that they're being wronged in court, in divorce court, CPS, child custody, probate, trust matters, whatever it is. Get the Constitution, get it applied into your case, and fight for jury trials and fight for grand jury due process and accountability, because we got to clean this country up. You see how much trouble we're in with Trump and Biden and everything else suing each other. You know, they're both trying to indict each other. I mean, we're at $35 trillion deficit. There's crime in the streets. I mean, this is terrible, and it stems from the lack of due process, and we have the stuff to fix it. We have the materials, it's warranted material, and we have habeas corpus templates for anybody that feels that they're being wrongly prosecuted or that have been wronged in a court. There's habeas corpus right now, and a lot of the folks that are listening to this or that are involved with the show have the habeas corpus templates right now. They've already been disseminated, and it's warranted material, so get with us, get with Luann, give me a call. You know, we're at adequacyassurance@yahoo.com. And that's adequacyassurance@yahoo.com. And Luann has the contact information. So, you know, happy to help you guys. Luann and Robin are great folks, and they got some other good folks, in their circles, down in the other states.
And let me something. This is the gentleman that we've been talking about for like 2 or 3 weeks now, trying to get him up onto a radio show. So, yes, you're going to be coming on and doing some series with us and talking to our listeners, and we're going to be getting you up on quite a few other radio shows so we can start making a big progress solution about what's going on here. So I just want everybody to know that. I think that we're going to try to get you up on here next week, if we can, to start answering some of these questions that so many people have been asking me, and I just kind of puzzled because I wasn't sure how it was myself. So if you would like to come on, please let us know and come back again next week so we could really – how does that sound, Hillary and Allie and everybody that's on here tonight?
Luann, can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Allie.
Okay.
About getting David back on her show. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I know. I just want to ask him something real quick, because Roger has already done a habeas corpus, or actually Attorney Pataro did for Stuart Handy, and it doesn't really seem like when you have a corrupt judge, how are you going to get to be heard by a grand jury, or that's a whole other separate court, right? Because they're not...
Well, the jury is the court, and it's supposed to be in the trial courts, but the grand jury is a completely separate entity. I mean, the grand jury is what, they're in charge of the courts. So that's, and they don't really tell you that right now because of the epidemic that we're in, but there was, I think, several habeas corpuses filed on behalf of Roger and Stewart, and, the attorneys, the Bar Association right now is not really working like it should in many ways. So I don't know about the grant or the habeas corpus that they filed, but the one that we filed, because Sheriff Stewart and Roger were in jail and that kind of stuff. They were, Stewart was locked up there, the sheriff. And so we filed a habeas corpus with the grand jury, and it was defaulted on. by all parties. We filed it with the district attorney's office there as well and the court, and it was defaulted on. We basically demanded, hey, prove that there's a valid indictment here or release these gentlemen and acquit them. And it was defaulted on. So now it's a warrant. And so now it's a warrant that is enforceable by any law enforcement officer in the country, as well as any judge. Anybody that's sworn to the Constitution, state or federal officers are all sworn. And the thing is that the grand jury can enforce it. They can order it to be enforced. You know, they can hire their own investigators. They can even hire their own people and swear them in and deputize them to go out and enforce these warrants. But it's going to take a bunch of people getting together. That's one way that you get the law enforced is by, raising. In the 60s, they had to have riots. I mean, not riots, but movements when they went and they had the word slipping from me right now, but they had basically they peacefully assembled and got out there and were picketing basically, and they didn't riot. We want peace. And so it's going to take people getting together, getting the newspapers going and actually talking about this, and that is one way that it might have to be come into fruition. But there's things that we can do. There's people that can get involved. They can call, or we can go there and demand that the law be enforced, as well as, going to a higher court, with the grand jury, getting the grand jury involved, as well as the other courts. Because once you have a grand jury warrant, then the other courts are going to start to fall into line, especially if you have people that are actually getting involved and participating in the activities or participating in the whole topic. I mean, right now it's just, we talk about it, but the courts there are with telling Stewart and Roger, you guys are facing 40 or 50 years when actually they're innocent. It's been proven. So it's gonna take us going to the grand jury and going to the law enforcement. And those are all agencies of the grand jury. So, we can go there, and if we have to, we can have a peaceful protest. There's other things that can be done. Technically, there are other law enforcement agencies that can go in there and enforce this. And it might take getting the United States Marshals involved or the FBI or whatever it may be, but the fact of the matter is that the Constitution is being violated. Their rights are being violated. There's no evidence in the case that they did anything wrong from what I saw. Roger's mother, there was no – once he demanded a jury trial, there was no valid jurisdiction for them to order him. And I don't even think they had any orders in place that he couldn't even visit his mother. So, it was basically just they had her living at a care facility or a residency, and I think Roger has made the argument that she wasn't a patient there. She was a resident. Basically it was like a assisted living apartment or something like that. And so there was really no orders to even keep him away from her. And then they claim kidnapping, but there's really no evidence of kidnapping. So it's a travesty. It's going to take more and more people standing up for their rights and standing up for other people's rights because, basically, if you're being wronged, I need to get involved as another American citizen. And if I'm being wronged, you need to get involved. And that's just how it is. We have to take care of each other. And there's things that can be done, but it takes communicating. And so, the radio show is a very important thing, and I really commend Luann and Robin for doing that. And more people need to get involved and do things like that and get involved with Luann's show and communicate with your fellow citizens, because we are being assaulted and we are being victimized here. We're being human trafficked one way or another. Even if it's not you personally, you are being affected. You're being ran through the same system and you're living in this country. So you're being victimized by it either directly or indirectly. So get together with other people, get involved, and we're going to have to stand up for it. I mean, it might take us going to Reno here.
We're going to try to get you back on here next Wednesday, so I hope you're up for that, and I hope you can join us.
Yeah, definitely. We have a very good program, great projects going. We got some great people that are, top of the line lawyers and law professors in the country. that are here. And it's, you know, right now it's just there's a lot of stuff going on in the government that shouldn't. And so we have to stand up, and it's our, you know, it's our obligation to fix it. I mean, technically, we are the citizens. We have to do our part, our minimum civic duties, to make sure that our laws are being enforced. And when we know that somebody's being victimized, like Roger and Stuart, we have to do something about it. And there are things that can be done, including, you know, you can write to your grand jury, and you can make, you know, grand jury evidence presentments from across the country. You have the right to petition your grand jury under the First Amendment, as well as other provisions of law, but you have that right. And so, you know, they're holding them to a trial and putting 40 or 50 years in front of them when they're completely innocent. And so those are crimes just for them to try to hold them to this illegal trial. I mean, it's illegal. Those are crimes that these people are participating in. And we tried to give them a chance to correct themselves. And, you know, they still have that chance to go to do the right thing and let Roger and Stuart free like they're supposed to be, like the law provides and what the evidence provides. The evidence shows that they are innocent. And so me and you and everybody out there need to take charge of our own government. We own it. We're the owners. And we have our representative grand juries that are in charge. The grand jury's in charge. They can indict any judge, any police officer, any lawyer out there that's involved in crime. And just like they can indict you and have you arrested, they can indict those folks as well. And so we as the owners of this country need to stand up and take charge of it and take it back, because these are crimes, and it's a travesty. It's really a travesty what's going on.
Go ahead. Right. Dr. Dave, we're going to have to end it there because our radio show is
Can you keep him on? Can you keep him on? Because Kathleen wanted to talk to him. If she's next in the queue, I'm not sure.
The seventh phone number?
Her number is, 740.
If I can bring him in, it's kind of after the show. Phone number?
I'm here, 740.
Uh-huh. Who is this?
This is Kathleen Gaber. I hope the fellow is still here from Adequate.
No, I'm on
Kathleen,
here.
Yes. Oh, hello.
Go
Thank
ahead.
You for being here. Did I hear you
sure.
say that your company has put a grand jury together for Roger and Stuart a year ago?
No, we don't put grand juries together. We petitioned the federal grand jury in the Reno area, as well as other places in the state of Nevada as well, and other places in the surrounding area. So we don't make grand juries.
Okay.
We already have grand juries in this country that are existing, that are usually at your federal courthouses. And we petitioned them, and we gained default warrants. It matured to a default warrant for the acquittal and the immediate release through habeas corpus, and that's basically what it is, what a habeas corpus is. And we gained default warrants for their acquittal and release. And there shortly after, they dropped the bail, and he was released.
Right. So,
but as far as the case goes, there's warrants for the acquittal in the overall case, because there is no evidence against them. I mean, the evidence is actually points the other way, that they have been victimized by crime. Roger has been victimized by crime, as well as his mother. I mean, she was a victim of human trafficking.
Yeah, we've been following this case for years, honestly. Mm-hmm. So we're very familiar, but I think Kathleen has a question for you.
Sure.
I spoke with John Snow from Adequacy Assurance for about an hour and a half, and I love what you guys are saying and doing and the whole connection. But when I told him that we've already done a grand jury presentment through Bill and presented it to Breslow and Steggy, personally on Gmail, as well as hand-delivered it to his office because they wouldn't accept it in the hallway. And then they denied, they refused to respond, of course. So
we had
it delivered to...
Can I go ahead and connect you with Dave at the end of the show, because our time is out, everybody. And not able to talk no more after here
wow.
the next 30.
Yep.
So So I'm going to, I've got everybody's numbers here. I'm going to connect everybody. You can talk after the show. In fact, we're going to try to get Dave, Dr. Dave on next week. So until then, everybody, sorry we have to go. But
yeah, and you got my phone number, 925-766-0902. Call or text me.
Yep.
Happy to help anybody, yep. And I'm working with Luann on a lot of these things. So God bless the United States and everybody that's in it.
Thank you,
everyone.
And I'll make sure everybody's numbers around, and we'll do again next week. But until then, justice requires transparency
and
accountability, and giving up is not an option. We got to go, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Okay.
Thank you,
thanks, guys.
Thanks, everybody that came on, Martha. Okay. Everybody, love you.
Same to you.
Mm-hmm.